We're reading tonight in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now that is our text this evening. We're going to read further to clarify what is meant here. We're turning back in our Bibles to the Old Testament and the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Exodus 19 and verse number 7. And Moses came and called the elders of the people, and led before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Verse number 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And in the chapter 20, you'll notice that the Ten Commandments are given. For example, verse 13, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and so on. We're breaking in to read at verse number 18. Exodus 20 and 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness, where God was. Now over to the New Testament, please, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Matthew, chapter 27. And verse 35. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off. The Lord will bless to us this public reading from his word. We've read to you tonight two passages that bring before us two of the most eventful and momentous days that this world has seen. In Exodus, we have read about that day when God came down upon the Mount Sinai and gave his law to the people. In Matthew chapter 27, we have read about the day when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified at Calvary. I say it was two of the most momentous days. And the verse that we have read together tonight in John chapter 1, verse 17, it brings these two days before us. And the Spirit of God would have us to fix our attention upon them. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just so that we can put it on the map, our brother Higgins here will not mind us referring to his map. It's just about this point that we're referring to in the history of the nation of Israel. They've come out of Egypt and they're moving through. And the law is given here. The Ten Commandments represented on the chart. As we look at the two days, I want you to draw a parallel between them. We're going to take a look at some common features that were found in each day. And we'll link them together and then we'll draw lessons from them in the gospel. We're going to notice, first of all, what the people said on each occasion. And then we'll take a look at what they saw and what they heard on these two great days. And finally, we'll notice what they did on each occasion. But first of all, what the people said. You know, it is amazing to find these words written in Scripture. I take it the people didn't really know what they were saying when they said them. When Moses communicated something of the words of God to Israel, they used language like this and they said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. We will do. And Moses took those words and he led them to the Lord. And Israel, as it were, entered into a contract. They entered into a contract with God that all that the Lord has spoken today, we will do. What a contrast it is when we come over to Matthew chapter 27 and we find people from the same nation speaking about the Son of God, and they use language like this. Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. In Exodus 19, they're making their boast of what they will do for God. In Matthew 27, they're making clear the intent of their heart of what they will do to the Son of God. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. What a contrast. Let him be crucified. I take it that they made these statements on each of the occasions for two reasons. First of all, they failed to appreciate their own sinful condition before God. For example, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And the fact of the matter is, they couldn't do what God had. Failed to appreciate their own sinful condition before God. And then also, they failed to appreciate the holy character of God. We dwelt upon that at some length last week in this hall. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They fail to appreciate, on the one hand, their own sinful condition, and on the other hand, the holiness of God. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And that's true whenever we come over to Matthew 27. For they thought that they were doing the will of God when they cried, let him be crucified. I say, my friend, that is the worst crime that this human race has committed. They crucified Christ. They failed to appreciate their own sinful condition. And then they failed to appreciate the holiness of the one that was before them. Let him be crucified. You know, there's something in the heart of men and women. Whenever we use that word man, we're speaking generically, and we're speaking of us all. There's something within our hearts that just loves to be religious. That loves to be able to do something. You know, using the energy of these bodies and the energy of the flesh to achieve something for God. And so you find that there are those that come to your door from the Watchtower Society, and they're working at it, and they're doing their bit. And there are other poor folk, and they're going up to their big buildings, and they're whispering, confessing their sins into the ear of their father confessor and so on. And they're doing their bit. And then there are those that come to gospel meetings that are familiar with the gospel, and they're trying to work up enough believing. And they're trying to trust them. They're trying to repent of their sin, and they're trying all these things, and they're trying to do. Well, I tell you, friend, the very last thing that you'll do before you're saved is just this. You'll stop all you're doing. Do you ever listen carefully to people telling their testimony? And they always seem to come to this point where they just realize that I can do nothing. I'm only a poor sinner, and I deserve to be underneath the wrath of God. Just at that moment it dawns upon them, Christ died for sinners. Well, if I'm a poor sinner and I deserve the wrath of God, Christ died for sinners, he died for me. And in a moment they're saved. And they did nothing. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Perhaps there are those in the meeting this evening and you have sat for many years under the sound of the gospel. And if I were to get close to you tonight and ask you, do you intend to be in heaven? I've no doubt that the answer of your soul would be, why, of course. Oh, I want to go to heaven, and I'm sure I'll be there someday. But is Christ your Savior tonight? Well, no. But I sure want to be in heaven, and I intend to be there one day. But Christ is not your Savior tonight. There's never been a moment in your experience when you've trusted him alone for salvation. Do you know what the language of your heart is? The statement of your life? It's just this. Sure, I'm going to be in heaven, all right. But you know, I just don't feel my need of Christ. Oh,
I want to meet the standard of God. I'm not the worst one in the world. And I want to be in heaven, and all that the Lord has spoken, I'll make my best attempt at it, at least.
All the while you're rejecting Christ. Really, the statement of your heart and of your life is this. Concerning the great provision that God has made in His Son, the Savior, we will not have this man to reign over us. And in reality, you're mingling your voice with the cry of the multitude that day that stood before Pilate. And they said, "Let him be crucified."
The height of human sin. Concerning the Son of God, they cried, "Let him be crucified."
Without Christ in the middle is the attitude of your heart. What the people said, but what the people saw and heard.
I wonder, could we stand with Moses tonight in our thinking? In the dusty desert at the foot of Sinai. And watch how he brings the people out from the camp. And we would read words like these in verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp
to meet with God. What a scene that was. And what a scene it was that day in Jerusalem. When in John 19 we read words like these, "And he bearing his cross went forth."
Moses brought forth the people. "And he bearing his cross went forth."
There's going to be a transaction take place on each occasion.
Yes, my friend, there was that day when the Lord Jesus moved forth outside the city wall. To the green hill far away, we sing sometimes, outside the city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We want to focus your attention upon that scene tonight. We want you to realize something of what transpired that day upon the cross of Calvary, upon the Mount of Calvary, where the Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Moses brought forth the people without the camp.
To meet with God.
What a meeting this would be. Tonight in Victoria Drive in the city of Vancouver. In March 1992,
if there was one soul that would meet with God, I would get to meet with God by trusting Christ.
Moses brought forth the people. The 3 days of preparation now have passed. We find that God is coming down upon the mountain. And the mountain is covered with smoke, as it were the smoke of a furnace. And we find that there are the flashes of lightning across the sky. And we can hear the clap of thunder rolling through the sky. And the whole mountain is quaking beneath the feet of Moses. And we find that there's the sound of the trumpet sounding louder and louder. And the whole mountain is on a slope. And there's the thick cloud. And there's the darkness.
You read words like these. Moses drew near onto the darkness, onto the thick darkness, where God was. What a scene. I don't want to take you, my friend, to another scene. Outside the city wall of Jerusalem. I want you to see God's man moving forward. Moving forward to the place of where God would shroud the scene of darkness and creation would, as it were, put on its shroud of mourning when the incarnate Maker died for man, his creature's sin. And God clothed that scene in darkness and the Lord himself, God's man, the only one who could enter into the darkness to meet with God. The issue of our sins before. We
read that Moses spake and God answered him with a voice. But my friend, such was the experience of this Savior as he bare our sins upon the cross that he's made to cry in the word of Psalm 22, "My God, I cry unto thee in the days, in the daytime, but thou hearest not." Moses spake and the Lord answered him with a voice. "But I cry unto thee in the daytime, and thou hearest not." There was no answer for Christ when he cried. And from the darkness we hear his cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, friends, tonight in the gospel, isn't it, was because our sin on him by God was laid. He who himself had never sinned, for sinners, sin was made. And God is making to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. And the wrath of God is going over his sinless soul. And he cries, "I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." What was the experience of Christ like on the cross? My friend, will never know. I thought about the responsibility of Moses that he faced that day. As that one man for the nation went out to meet with God, and the people cowering back, they stood back, and Moses went forward and went up into the mountain, into the darkness, to meet with God. What a load of responsibility fell upon him. But friend, it was nothing to the awful load that fell upon Christ when the stroke of justice fell upon him, the stroke that God aimed at me as the sinner, it fell upon his sinless son. Sometimes we sing in the morning as we gather to remember him. Oh, what a load was thine to bear alone in that dread hour. Our sins and all their terror there, God's wrath and Satan's power, and it went over his sinless soul. As Moses stood that day upon the mount, he felt the very rocks of Sinai quaking beneath him. As the presence of God came down, and the glory of God was seen as a consuming fire upon the mount. My friend, I want to tell you that it was literally true at Calvary. The rocks were quaking, there was a great earthquake. And we sing in the morning again, "The rocks do rend, the mountain quakes, while Jesus doth atonement make, while Jesus suffers for our sake on the cross." And then we go on to sing with joy in our souls, "And now the mighty deed is done on the cross. The battle fought, the victory won on the cross. 'Tis finished," the conqueror cried. Then he bows his sacred head and dies on the cross. And so it is in the gospel tonight that we can proclaim a Savior who has satisfied the throne of God. God's throne that was outraged because of our sin, and his justice that cried out for the wrath of God to fall. It has fallen upon Christ, and he has cried, "It is finished." God is able to come out now and offer salvation, and offer forgiveness, and offer eternal life and blessing eternally in heaven to those that believe on the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice quickly in closing what the people did. In each occasion we find that they stood afar off. Not surprising perhaps in the case of Moses upon the mount. When the glory of God came down, they stood afar off. It is natural in the heart of sinful man to recoil from the holy character of God. But I find it sad to think that at the cross of Calvary, the people stood afar off. Sad when I think of it in the context of the gospel. To think that though God has gone to such lengths to meet the need of sinners that have violated his law, that have rebelled against it, though God has gone to such length,
that there are those who are familiar with the gospel that stand afar off.
That still persists in standing aloof from Christ.
I tell you, my friend, that if you remain separated from Christ in time, you constantly run the danger of being separated from Him for all eternity. When a decree comes out from the throne of God to those that stand before Him without Christ, depart from me. I never knew you.
Oh friend, tonight weigh these things up. Time is short and eternity is long. God has provided salvation in Christ. The law was given to be obeyed. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, who must be received.
Listen to the words of John's Gospel as we close. To as many as received Him,
to them give He the right to become the sons of God,
even to them that believe in His name.
Believe in Christ tonight. Receive Him as your Savior, and be saved for time.
For eternity.